This is Lizzie Kramer. I'm here with Laura Thompson at the Massachusetts Museum of Contemporary Arts, also known as the Mass MoCA, in North Adams, about a 50-minute drive away from Troy. And we are talking about how the museum does community outreach today.
I'm Laura Thompson. I'm the Director of Education and Curator of KidSpace. I've been at the museum for 19 years, so pretty much from the beginning. I'm the founding Director of Education, which we started an education department, a formal education department, in 2012. And before that, I was overseeing KidSpace, which was a partnership between the Clark Williams College Museum of Art and Mass MoCA. And then that partnership shifted in 2012, and KidSpace formally came under Mass MoCA, and now I do programming throughout the whole museum as well. So I've always been interested in arts and how the arts can be used as a way to engage people in conversation about things that are really important that don't have other contexts in which these important conversations are happening.
What role do you see art playing and communicating with the public?
Through the lens of a museum educator, I see the arts as not necessarily as a tool to say, this is color and form. Yes, you know, the basics of art are there, and the history is there, and the social stuff is there. But it's more about that the arts are a tool for our visitors to have an experience. I always say this, you know, the art is standing there waiting for you to say something to it. And it's saying something to you. But we have something to say to this object, and he has something to say to us. A lot of times visitors come to cultural institutions and they often walk quickly through it, trying to catch everything that they can. It's traditionally known that most people spend about 20 seconds in front of a work of art. My mission in life is to try to get people to slow down and pay attention to the work of art because it's saying something really important, and it's allowing you to say something that's really important. So it's about humanity. It's about wellness too. This idea of slowing down is something that we try to do in the museum, and how can you then replicate that idea of slowing down in other parts of your life? So incorporate a mindful practice into some of our pedagogy here, and it's really an important facet of what I think the potentiality is of work in a museum. When you're going through it, can you really pay attention to the lighting, the texture, the feel of the room? Being in this old building, each room, each gallery is going to have a different tone, a different smell, sensation, everything, sound, you're going to have a different experience in it. So how can you tune into that instead of being distracted by everything? Could be, you know, you're here with a friend, could be that you're hungry, whatever it is, try to be present with the experience and really listen to the messages of the art.
With museum in this space that's paid for entry or maybe separate from the public, how do you see using the museum space to outreach to people?
We do have a philanthropic arm to our organization, and that is where we offer free programs. KidSpace is always for free. Mm-hmm. Our art bar is free. We do our school program. We're in partnership with 10 local schools. Every single student experiences the museum. That is for free. That includes artist residencies, their buses, coming here, art supplies. All of that we do for free. And we have grant-funded programs that are special projects that we work on to make sure that we can make the museum as accessible as possible. So several of those projects, one is working with children who receive services through the Department of Children and Families. And so we have a grant where we built an art mobile called the Drifting Studio by this artist, Wes Bruce. It will go out into the communities to not only work with them there where they are, but also to make it, you know, a statement to the community that might not feel comfortable stepping through the gates. Here's a stepping stone to making that happen. We also have another grant-funded project to work with a community advisory network where we brought together 18 members right now who range from from social service organizations, Berkshire Immigrant Center, veterans groups, local artists, all sorts of different people are on this committee. They have been helping us think about co-designing programming and thinking about what audiences might come here, serving as ambassadors to bring visitors here. There's many ways, in other words, that we're trying to make the museum accessible. We also have a library pass program where you can get free tickets through the library to come to the museum. A lot of different ways in which we work to make the museum and performing arts as much as possible accessible. Where do we go now? We all have this collective trauma that we've experienced, and people are coming back to the museum in droves, and which is really exciting. And we're hoping to get back to doing our work with the school groups in the fall. It's a time where we have to help with the healing process, and that's what I see the possibilities for art and for the museum to do, is how can we help them feel comfortable coming back together? How can we let them just experience joy again without being afraid, without having that, oh crap, you know, that anxious feeling that we all have been feeling over the past few years? So I think there's a lot of optimism and joy that can be experienced while engaged in the arts.
I'm curious, going back a little bit, how you see issues of social justice interweaving within this work.
Three ways to answer that. So the first way is social justice through how we are exhibiting. So not just the content, but that we're involving artists who traditionally may not have been included in exhibitions, or definitely making more of an effort to diversify who we involve in our exhibition. In terms of kids' space, we've always, as the curator of this space, we've always used it as an opportunity to talk about social justice issues. From this exhibition right now with Wendy Red Star, which focuses on Indigenous social justice, to the last show, which was on Still I Rise, which was about BIPOC women and portraiture. I've done shows on nature and the environment and talking about taking care of the environment, food. There's always this messaging that we do around our artwork, which is how can we engage students at the earliest ages in these discussions about the most contemporary issues that are happening. And we do that throughout the museum as well. It's engaging with the topics that the artists are expressing with our audiences. Another example is we had Nick Cave exhibition several years ago, and that's the size of an American football field, huge exhibition. It was about men being shot by the police. And when you first looked at it, it was like this beautiful display of what, right when you first walked in, 16,000 spinners that you would see like outside in somebody's yard, rainbow things and stuff. But if you look closely, there were bullets and guns pointing at you. He was definitely making a message there with that piece that you might think everything looks okay, it looks all glorified and beautiful, but when you really see through it, there's real issues that are happening with police brutality, with how people of color are treated in this world. And so we had really important conversations around that work with our public audience and with teenagers. He did a residency program. In this museum and most contemporary art museums, you have to be prepared to talk about what's in the news every day.
How themes of the same social justice that's emerging in the art continues through to the different communities you're interacting with.
Social justice is sort of twofold. One is the fact that we're making the museum accessible and inviting and working collaboratively with marginalized groups and vulnerable groups who might not otherwise come to the museum. And then social justice is the theme of the exhibition and the content. How do we connect to our audience? Well, a lot of the kids in the community are from disadvantaged homes. So we do have conversations about race and identity. And I think partnership is our middle name. I've been thinking about this a lot, but I would say that 90% of our education programs are held in collaboration with either an organization or individuals. These partnerships that we have long-term commitments made to the local schools. There are schools that will call up and traditionally that will say, I want to visit and they come. That's not partnership. Partnership is these long-term commitments that we know every single student, we know all the teachers, we know we can go into that school at any point and we have a strong relationship with them. And that takes time to build that up. We have a partnership with the high school students where we do a teen invitational. We have a big programming around displaying teens' artwork in between. It's sort of a pop-up exhibition in between times that we don't have an exhibition on view. And we give them awards that help fund their art department. And collaboration with Williams College, with all the different arts organizations, as well as cross-sector. There's local social service agencies, community coalition. We partner with MCLA, Mass College of Liberal Arts, to do programming together. It's not just trying to get people to come to our programs, but how can we design programs that serve them?